now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Anakin is gravely injured in battle. Jedi General Sakura must teach Ahsoka the Jedi philosophy of having no personal attachments. There will be adorable Lerman, Anorex Bro-Tifi feelings from Hope, and badass ladies who take charge! Hey, Chris!
Howdy.
How are you now that it took me 5 minutes to read that opening?
That's okay, you're a badass lady taking charge.
Yay! Thank you.
I'm doing good. I am wired on caffeine.
From last week?
Yeah, still from last week. I don't know if I'm ever coming down from this Irish breakfast buzz.
I'm eating a Pop-Tart.
Mmm.
I probably should not have just put it in my mouth before I was supposed to read more.
Yeah, Pop-Tarts are... A lot of podcasters suggest to eat a few Pop-Tarts before you start talking. It was an old trick that a lot of people who give speeches and do public speaking.
Why a Pop-Tart?
Because it gets your mouth nice and dry and filled with crumbly bits. People love hearing that.
I thought you were telling me like a real fact.
No,
about,
I'm, just,
like,
I'm just being a sarcastic prick. That's all.
Because I was trying to think about it. I was like, okay, so the sugar would be good because it would get your blood sugar up for the speech.
No.
Anyway.
I'm just lying too well. I'm sorry.
That was a very good lie, and I'm also very gullible. So, Jedi Crash is the 13th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on January 16, 2009. It was written by Katie Lucas and directed by Rob Coleman. So, some extra information about this episode, which both these I found kind of cool. When Anakin is being treated aboard the frigate, he's wearing an oxygen mask, and that's actually the same sound of his breathing of Darth Vader.
Oh, that's one of my notes. Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah,
we can bring that back up later.
I noticed that.
And then also, as the frigate is trying to escape and it jumps into hyperspace, it's been stated in various written sources that it's impossible to jump hyperspace in the atmosphere of a planet. In fact, the entire purpose of the gravity well generator is to mimic the gravity of a planet in order to prevent this. But it looks cool, dude.
It does look cool.
I feel like Dave Filoni was like, someone was like, but Dave, that's impossible. And he's like, oh, it looks cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess that is impossible.
Maybe
we'll
it was like
it.
An EU thing, though, of why. But I don't know. It said it was stated in several sources, so they have to be official sources.
It's Star Wars, not Star Trek. They can fudge stuff for a while.
Yeah.
And they do.
All the time.
Yep.
So just like every episode, we start with the moral of the episode in a terrible Yoda voice, and I'm just going to warn you now, this is the worst one yet,
yeah.
So I'm sorry.
I have some ways to maybe tie this in to make it make more sense, but...
Greed and fear of loss are the roots that lead to the tree of evil in bed.
I'm thinking the tree of evil is a penis.
Oh, we're always classy over here at J as a Jedi.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make it work. This is the first one that hasn't worked gangbusters, so...
Well, maybe the fear of loss is, you know, someone would be rooted in evil if they lost their penis tree.
Yeah, this was basically saying...
they would need a lot of greed to buy a new penis.
Maybe they should take some Viagra.
I'm pretty sure you can get, like, a really nice strap-on for, like, $40 at a Starship.
But, yeah, you haven't priced it at all.
We're so weird.
You're pretty sure, Opa. I've heard. Yeah, I've heard. Word on the street I was you know, I was online checking the world strap-on index the other day, and it was up.
A guy comes up in a trench coat, he's up in, and he's like, "Hey, buddy, you want to buy a strap-on?"
$45? No way.
Well, how go you down to 42? Because that's the answer for everything.
I could go down the street anywhere in this country and get a strap-on for $40. Why do I want yours?
Yeah. Mine's laced with love.
Jesus.
It comes pre-lube from the person who used the... Oh, we need to start this episode.
Now, yeah. Let's just jettison on this topic right now.
Hey, listeners. Sorry. We never said that this was a clean show.
Although it's funny you haven't seen Deadpool yet, but... Yeah, that joke is oddly prescient of a scene in Deadpool, so...
Oh, cool.
Take that as you will.
I will hopefully be seeing you next weekend, so...
Oh, good.
Now, listeners, I do apologize if I have background noise. We have a storm right now, and I have a tin roof, so if I sound kind of... That's why, I'm sorry.
In the summer, do you put your cat up there to have a cat on a hot tin roof?
No, but they used to climb up the pillars before we installed the new gutters, and they would climb on the roofs themselves.
They love having the high ground.
Yeah. So, Jedi Crash.
I'm ready.
I'm so excited.
Let's crash into this. Yeah, I think you got a little bit to say about this episode.
viewers. I would say viewers, like we have video.
Make yourself comfortable.
Yeah, the next 6 episodes is my favorite chunk of season 1. So, I'm excited. Let's do this.
Feels will be flying around.
All the feels and all the notes and all the everything.
Take all the feels, put them in a bucket, and bring them to me.
Here's my bucket of feels, Chris. It comes with strap-ons.
That's what we'll title this episode, Bucket O' Feels.
It comes with strap-ons.
If you order now.
Oh, Act 1. Anakin and Ahsoka race across the galaxy as Aayla Secura's fleet is under attack in the Outer Rim. They arrive just in time as Secura's ship is starting to go down. Anakin rides a super battle droid to Aayla's cruiser as the gunship with Rex and Ahsoka crashes into it. I love that scene, by the way. They rush to the docking port in the lower hangar to reach the ship, but as a fiery inferno barrels towards them, Anakin force pushes everyone to safety. The doors are closed, and he's hit by the blast. They pull him onto the ship, but he's in critical condition. They race the dock with the Republic cruiser, the Resolute, but their hyperdrive is activated when the pilot is killed. They break away from the Resolute and jump into unknown hyperspace. The navigation coordinates were inputted incorrectly, launching them towards a star. They switch off all the power to reset the navigation, but the risk comes with turning off Anakin's life support. They switch the power on just in the nick of time, but they get slingshotted to a nearby planet. Ahsoka is able to crash the ship, keeping most of the crew alive. Rex, Commander Bly, and the Jedi are able to get off the ship before it explodes. Now they're stranded on a planet with Anakin injured with no way to call for help. Yay! Okay, so... You should probably search. I have more notes.
Oh, boy. This one
I assume I have more notes.
This one goes right for the throw you right into the story. Things are just happening when it gets there. One of my first notes was, Anakin's respirator is definitely a little Darth Vader nod. What is this with droids caring about other droids? That's a new development.
Well, it wasn't like the smart droid, like the leader droid.
No.
But it was like it's sentient artificial intelligence, and I don't like it.
It's weird, you know, it's weird. It's about, you know, that...
Maybe it was like a logic function.
I guess so, you know. Yeah. That they think, we don't want to take out 250 droids. But the way he says it is just like, there's 250 droids on there. I love that guy's voice, the commander with the flat computerized voice.
I do not care, destroy them all.
Yeah, and it's got that, but it's got that real electronic, really like electronic distortion.
A Dalek.
Well, like a Dalek, or like the people who have tracheotomies, where they have the hole in their neck and they have to talk with the it's usually a little speaker they put up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they gotta talk like this. It's very similar to that to me. So it's kind of creepy, you know. I just, and I like his look. I like his sort of barrel-chested, squashed-down head, too. He reminds me of Uncle Randy Gardner. That's like the Gardner body type right there.
The Gardners are friends of our shows of Two True Freaks, just for new listeners.
Yes, yeah. I don't know how funny they think it is, but God damn it, it's true. We must face facts, Gardners. You all look alike. When you put all the male gardeners in a line, it's just like peas in a pod. It's hilarious to see. It's great. But that's about all I had for this for the beginning. Very, very strong beginning. I wonder why Anakin, I guess he protected himself a little force, but I thought he would be a little more burnt up, you know?
Yeah. I do like the part where, you know, Anakin's like, I'm going to go to the ship, and jumps off, and, like, Ahsoka and Rex's pilot is dead, and they're just crashing towards it, and they're just like, well, this is not going to end well, and they just crash into the cruiser. So, ready for Fuels with Hope?
Here we go.
Here we go. I actually just took a drink of my drink, just to be ready for Fuels with Hope. First, I'm going to say, I know it's Ayla, but if I accidentally call her Isla, that's actually how I thought her name was originally, so if I accidentally call her Isla, I'm sorry. Ayla is another Jedi lady that I really love. And she was so well and respected among the clones that some sources read it's why they shot her in the back during Order 66. They couldn't do it to her face because she earned that much respect and she earned the fact to have a quick and painless death. It also rips my heart out that Commander Bly is the one that kills her because she has a really close friendship with Commander Bly, and fan art of those two together and as a romance is my absolute favorite.
I'm sure that happened with, I'm sure almost in every, like most of the cases of Order 66, it was usually some people that were really close to somebody having to take them out, you know?
I also love fan art of Luminara and Gree. Luminara and Gree fan art is some of my favorite too. But also, I like Ayla and Bly in those opening moments because, and I like to think of them together as a couple because he's yelling at his Jedi General, which is something that a lot of clones don't actually do. But he's kind of yelling at, like, that's his girlfriend going, woman, turn the power back on. Don't make me come back there, woman.
Yeah, right.
So I really like watching Bly and Sakura together. They're just really adorable. Brr. And they're, shut up. And the only other thing I had in this, I just feel bad for Rex in this. And actually, this entire episode, Rex is just has a bad day.
Yeah.
Because in the opening scene, he crashes into a cruiser that has no pilot. He's working on the navigation, and you see that it sparks up in his face. And then he gets flung into Ayla and almost gets them all killed because he accidentally hit her. And it's okay, honey. We all have bad days.
I just kept thinking, I can relax. Rex makes it to Rebels.
Isn't that so, like how the stakes have turned now? Like, because that's the thing about this episode is, you know, Anakin's gonna be okay. There's no, because we know that he's back. And we know he turns into Vader. So it kind of like takes down the stakes a lot. But at this time, you know, we didn't know that Rex was going to Rebels. And so, like, as I was watching, like, the final seasons and shit is, like, hitting the fan more and more and more and more, I was really scared for Rex a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, all the clones, because you never know which of them will die. So it's kind of like Game of Thrones. You don't pick a favorite clone because they're probably going to die at some point.
Yeah. Well, luckily, you know, that's true in, like, the reality of the show, but, like, and luckily, the cartoon is not like Game of Thrones. At least we won't have any just horrifying, mangling deaths of somebody we love.
I don't know. The second battle of Geonosis is pretty intense.
What season is that?
Two, actually. Okay. It's the Weapons Factory episode where they introduce Barriss. I actually wrote about it in What the Fangirl. Because it's up to that date, it's probably the most violent episode because you actually, like, clones are being picked up to get ripped apart and they're setting fire to the Geonosians and you're watching them, like, fall from the sky, like, screaming and burning. And, I mean, it's a very intense series of battles. And of course, there's no blood and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if it had been, like, Clone Wars rated R, you know there'd be, like, blood and guts everywhere.
Yeah, get on that, Filoni. Clone Wars rated R.
No. My heart couldn't handle it.
Clone Wars and the R in Wars is giant and in the shape of the rated R.
No, my heart couldn't handle it. Filoni, please don't.
You get some to see some people doing it. You could get some of your slash on. Get your slash on. Hey, that's a series of movies right there. Someday it might happen. You know, someday somebody might be like, we should just buy the rights to these characters and make a slash film and see if people will come, so to speak. They probably would.
I'm sorry, I'm chewing a Pop-Tart because I'm
not
trying to make a speech.
That's all. Eat all the Pop-Tarts. I like having somebody who knows how to, is preparing.
Yes, my blood sugar is going up already.
Exactly.
No, when you were talking about slash, I thought we were talking about violence. So I was thinking like a slasher film, not like guy on guy slash.
We're talking about cartoons. We should have big bowls of like Trick cereal in front of us.
Ooh, I ate the last of my Lucky Charms 2 days ago.
Lucky Charms would be more than acceptable too. Or
I got them
honeycomb.
For 50 cents.
Honeycomb, a big bowl of honeycomb would be really good.
Oh
my
gosh.
favorite sugar overload is, and I never could do it as a kid, and I always wanted to do it. And now I'm forgetting the name of them. I want to say sugar corn pops. Remember, they're big orange.
Sugar crisps?
They're not sugar crisps.
Oh,
they're like sugar corn pops.
Corn pops.
Yeah, corn pops. Mixing 50-50 corn pops and honeycomb.
No.
It's like, and when I, you know, when I was in college and like, oh, we were smoking pot or something. Finally, I was like, I could go to the grocery store and buy honeycombs and corn pops. Finally put them together. Like, and you know what? It was every bit as wonderful as I thought it would be.
You got to live the dream, Chris.
Yeah. You got to make it happen yourself. It's just not going to happen for you.
Don't dream the dream.
Live the dream.
What is your favorite cereal?
It's between sugar corn or corn pops and honeycomb. It's gotta be.
So it's
gonna
be
you
sugar.
Know, I mean, I almost would want to have two categories because there's the sugar candy cereals, and then there's like good breakfast, you know, quote unquote. I don't know health wise, good breakfast cereals. Although I would think maybe like for the old folks, not really me yet, but I'm sure I'm heading towards that age. They're more like good poop cereals. But I put those in a separate category, you know, like for those, it would have to be either like cornflakes or grape nuts. I love grape nuts. But for the sugar ones, if I had to pick between corn pops and honeycomb, it would probably be the corn pops.
No, you got to say that you like sugar, honey, corn pops cones.
Oh, and that, well, you know, I mean, now you got me thinking about it. And then there's Golden Grahams. And
that is my favorite, Golden Grahams.
Those are pretty I can eat Golden Grahams just dry, like one at a time, and have that be a wonderful experience.
I hate that they're so expensive because I rarely get them. And then when you get them, they're only like half full. Why do they do that with chips and cereals?
It settles. They dump it in, and then as it the truck, you know, goes over bumps, it all just settles. Because those are flat. They're flats. They're little flat shapes. They got a little curve to them, but they can, you know, as they shake, they, you know, the air between them will get. If you have big round pieces and big clunky pieces, they'll hold that full bag. It's by weight, not volume. But yeah, Golden Grahams and Corn Pops have it's the thing about it that I love is when you throw them in the milk and you let them and you don't eat them right away. You know, you eat the first few and they're all crispy. It's just like crisp in milk. But then you get to those ones that have sat for a little while. And with both of those cereals, they get this sort of slimy texture to the outside of them. And they're like sort of this sweet slimy on the outside and then they're crunchy on the inside. And something about that is just delicious to me.
It is so good.
We need to have a Two True Freaks food podcast where we can just get on and talk about all the food we love.
I would listen to that.
Yeah, well, if you've seen pictures of Two True Freaks, you see people who love food.
So, did you have anything else for Act 1?
Nope, that's all I had.
So Act 2, let me get my cursor over here, because I'm going to have to scroll through these long... Act 2 was one of them I was like, where do I break this up at?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was having the same problem.
This was a weird little Act 2, because the thing is, like, Act 3 was only, like, the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Act 2 was, like, literally minute 7 to, like, minute 15, yeah. Which is a lot of the episode.
I had to go back through, and I was like... flipping through it going, did I miss? Because, you know, usually there's that the obvious break where it goes, boom, 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 and something happens. And then the next scene is like, and it's the music changes. It's catching up on the story. And, okay, here's a scene change. No, it was boggling my mind.
Yeah, like minute 7 and minute 20. That was all of Act 2.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Act 2. Our heroes set up a temporary camp, but Anakin is in grave condition. They have to find help as soon as they can. Ahsoka wants to stay behind, claiming Anakin would never leave her if she was hurt. But Ayla wants Ahsoka to work with her as a team. She tells the Padawan that as a Jedi, she must do what's best for the group as a whole and not just for one person. They find traces that someone is living on the planet. They need to find giant trees to get to the planet's inhabitants. Ahsoka, Ayla, and Bly set out with some men while Rex stays behind to watch over Anakin. Oh, the feelings. Ayla senses that Ahsoka... Shut up.
I was watching this going like, oh man, this story's going in a different direction in Anakin's... in Hope's head.
Shut up. They're secret boyfriends.
I have Ayla to check your body for broken bones. Sorry.
I was about to say something, but it's not appropriate. As we had an entire conversation about strap-ons. Ayla senses that Ahsoka is still worried about Anakin. Ahsoka is confused about mixing compassion with attachment. Ayla says that she went through the same thing with her master when she was a Padawan. For the good of 1,000 lives, she had to leave her master. That night, they find the giant trees they were looking for, but no people. After avoiding getting crushed by giant seeds falling from the trees, they see drag marks nearby leading away from the site. They head off to follow the trail. Back at camp, something lurks in the tall grasses around Rex and Anakin. Sensing the danger, Anakin stumbles out of the tent wanting Rex to look behind him. A creature called a Mastis Balone leaps out and attacks. Rex is able to scare off the creature with his blaster, but is a bit beaten up in the process. A group of Mastiff attack Ayla and Ahsoka and their men. They kill all the clones except for Commander Bly. The only choice they have is to keep moving. These Mastiffs do not look like Mastiff dogs, which are adorable.
No. They look like,
They actually kind of look like dinosaurs almost. Like, you know how they now are saying, like, dinosaurs have, like, would have had feathers and stuff?
Their faces remind me of the Skeksis in The Dark Crystal, if you've ever seen The Dark Crystal, the Jim Henson movie.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of have that beaky Skeksis look. But then they have this weird sort of, like, lizard, mammal, turtle body. They're not really a turtle because they can leap and run. But it's like this solid, barely body. I think their design is kind of neat. And I like, they're not very anthropomorphized. They seem like just really, like, badass. I like how they all have the same voice, too. It's that important element of Star Wars where it's fantastical, but the way that creature acts like a real creature. It acts like something you would see, you know, in a nature documentary or something. It has its, they have their like pack hunting skills and their, you know, they use the grass as their a way to sneak up on people. And you just pick that up by seeing the thing attack them. And I like that a lot. And they look like they'll mess you up.
Oh, yeah. They kind of... you know how, like, gooses actually have, like, teeth on their tongues and stuff?
Yeah.
And, like, they have, like, monstrous mouths? I have a feeling that that's... I know we got to see them, like, roar on the inside of their mouth. But I bet if we slowed it down, we could probably see, like, goose tongue with teeth.
Little tiny spines pointing inward or something. Yeah.
If not, they need to be there.
Oh, I have some advice for if you're a fighting man in an army.
Mm-hmm.
Don't nickname yourself Lucky. bad nickname to have. It's you're just asking for it if you nickname yourself Lucky. That's all I'm saying.
The only thing that was ever named Lucky that was actually truly Lucky was Lucky the puppy in 101 Dalmatians.
I mean, you get the name Lucky, I think, after you've survived. After the Clone Wars, if he's a live clone, Lucky. Lucky the clone.
I'm going to see them like, hey, Lucky, don't say that. Don't call me that for 3 years now.
Unless
and after Clone Wars, he's like, okay, you can call me Lucky.
Now you can call me Lucky. It's safe to call me Lucky. The minute you, you know, it's just like the minute you start talking about your new wife and kid, you know, to the clone next to you, that you're just like, you got about 5 minutes left.
I kind of feel like that about reality competition shows, like, because I watch a lot of, like, Top Chef and Project Runway and Face Off. If you talk about your family and your kids, you're either going to win the challenge or you're going to go home. And that's a 50-50 thing. If I was ever on those competition shows, I wouldn't play with. If they were like, hey, talk about your family. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I have half a chance of going home. Hell no. You don't even know shit about my family.
That ain't none of your business.
They're alive. That's all you need to know. Bye. Bye, Felicia.
Well, we finally met the pacifist leprechaun cat people.
Yeah, well, we're not there yet. That's next act.
Oh, you're right.
So what did you think about act two?
I like it. I
it's a lot of running.
Yes, it is. But I like the setup of it. Yeah, the conversation about attachment and stuff, it was okay, but I'm not like feeling it, you know what I mean? As a story element, it just seems to be something Jedi that they can sort of talk about in it. But
because like I feel like it was better when like Luminara was talking to Ahsoka a few episodes back. That felt like it was done better because Ayla was just kind of like, don't have attachments, and Ahsoka was like, okay, I'll try not to. Like, thanks,
like,
man.
Yeah, like Skywalker's Padawan's gonna listen to you anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like the design. This is obviously like Africa world. It's the African veldt.
Thank you. Okay, because it sounds terrible because I had a note about the music too, and I was trying to describe it. I was like, it reminds me of something. What does it remind me of? It's kind of like Tarzan-y. Like, what's that country?
It's because it's not really like African music. It's that like world music. It's world music. So it's like African mixed in with Latin beats. It's just sort of, you know, any ethnic music that relies heavily on drums and flutes.
If you go into any like Barnes and Nobles and buy like ethnic world music, it's gonna be on there.
That's like when you go to Barnes and Nobles or Bed Bath and Beyond, and they'll have this little stand set up, and you can buy CDs from it of relaxation music, and it's 50 varieties of this kind of music. Oh, boom, 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 ooh, and then those pan flutes going. Yeah. In the future, like when people look back at Clone Wars 20 years ago, they'll be like, oh yeah, that's the music they used in those days to mean Africa or the you know, wilds of, you know, flatlands of somewhere. They always use that music. Like, but you know, back in the 50s or probably before the 70s, just like if it was Native American, you would hear every time, you know, that meant, oh, the Indians are coming, you know. I mean, to the point of where, you know, you know, people would refer to it as a hi Hawaii. and actually this kind of music has sort of crept in as that what you're going to hear when you see any kind of indigenous people these days.
Yeah.
It's a generic music for like indigenous people who live off the grid. Just by 2 cents.
No, I'm laughing because I know you and I know you kind of try to live off the grid too. So I'm like, if I ever walked in, there's your theme song.
I don't live that far off. I don't live that. Yeah. I mean, truly off the grid, like no electricity. There's only so off the grid you're going to be doing a podcast on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
My podcasting on the internet isn't even being powered by solar cells on top of my hut. Someday, maybe. Someday I'll be in some sort of like cheap shelter with solar cells over it, huddled in there with a little coffee can stove, podcasting about Clone Wars. All I need is Wi-Fi. I can see all the TV shows I have to see and podcasts. I don't need anything else.
That's really all I need in my life, too, is Wi-Fi. Isn't that sad?
It's sad, but it's wonderful. You know, I thought about this last year when I was going on the bus to New York City for Eternal Con and going down to ACBC Con in the car, is that, like, I could take my laptop and my microphone with me and my, like, portable recorder and, say I didn't have to be around home, I had to, like, travel somewhere for a month or go somewhere for a month. If I had access to the internet, it wouldn't interfere at all with, like, the production of any Two True Freak show. If I needed to watch a movie, I could download it, or, I had to read a comic and get the CBR. Anything I could do, and I could record it, edit it, and release it on all using that laptop and a microphone. That's unheard of, compared to when I was a kid, that you have that tech. You have the technology of a full, what would have been beyond the production studio of any, like, local radio station or even, like, big radio station back when I was a kid.
And it's different even from when, like...
My backpack.
Like, I mean, it's different from even when, like, I was in college, like, 7 years ago. Yeah. I mean, I remember if you wanted to have internet anywhere, like, you had to have an Ethernet cable. I mean...
My favorite live band to see of this era, of the modern era, of the 90s and forward, is the band Ween, and they broke up for 4 years, and they just got back together, and they did 3 shows in Colorado, which, I was not going to be able to afford tickets and go to Colorado, so no chance I was going to see it, but, I'm seeing news and reports of it. And then the date of the first concert, I realized, oh, I'm on a time delay from, it's a little earlier, it's a little earlier in Colorado. I'll bet you that concert's starting right about now. And then I just, after a few web clicks, all of a sudden I find a website where people are able to live feed right from their cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched about 3/4 of the concert from different people's, from different angles, and... one girl, I don't know what kind of phone she had, but it had beautiful sound and video on it, and she was standing off to the side of the stage. And, it's just, as a whim, I was literally sitting there doing something else, and I was like, oh, I wonder if I could, and then the next thing I know, I'm doing it. I love it. People, I'll never feel bad for the amount of time I've spent on the internet and the computer, because 20, 30 years from now, if I hadn't done it, I will regret it. I know I'll be like, you were there when all this was starting and on the cutting edge, and you weren't, like, dedicating a lot of time interacting and examining it. So,
yeah.
So all you listeners, don't feel bad for all those hours you sit on the internet looking at memes, watching porn, reading stupid articles, top 10 lists written by somebody who never researched anything in them. It's all worth it.
I pretty much feel the same way. I mean, like, that's our day and era, but we're also, one of the most... This generation is, like, one of the most educated generations, and a lot of it is because of technology. I mean, I almost double majored because I really wanted a history degree to double major, and then I had a moment of going, why would I do that? I have the internet and books. I can read about history. Why should I spend 4 more years here and more money to do something I can do on the internet?
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
And I was listening to it, actually an article, I was listening to the radio today, and, like, there was some news story about, like, Peyton Manning and stuff like that, and they were actually talking about how, like, in this time, this whole thing about Peyton Manning apparently, like, sexually assaulted a girl, like, 20 years ago in the 90s. But the internet was barely a thing back then. But, like, now if anything breaks, you know about it almost instantly.
And almost too soon sometimes. Almost so soon to the point of where you can never know if it's true or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, boom, all of a sudden this thing will happen. To a lesser degree of... evilness is like somebody making up a story that Peyton Manning got arrested for sexual assault. Like, there's always the articles this person died.
Arrested. Like, they had, like, this, a non-disclosure agreement and stuff like that. And, like, the lady just couldn't talk about it, and he didn't talk about it. That's actually where the point is. Like, now it's got brought up again.
He actually
cannot talk about it because that goes against an agreement that he has with this lady. And if he talks about it, he has to pay her, like, 6 more digit figures.
So he has to just sort of sit back and let the internet do its thing. That's can't be comfortable for him.
No. Anyway, yes, that was a great tangent. I actually, my friend Anjali listens to this podcast.
Is she going to enjoy that one?
Well, she came into the store the other day and she was like, I really like JGuys and Jedis. It's a really great podcast. You guys go on a lot of tangents, but they're fun. So thank you, Anjali. Thank you for listening. All right, so some of my notes for this.
Welcome to Two True Freaks. That's all I got to say.
I will say my entire, what was it? I had a run of Sherlock podcasts a few years back on Hope of All Trades, and they stemmed from an hour-long conversation in the middle of a Doctor Who episode, and someone went, why don't you do some Sherlock episodes? And I went, okay. After talking about Sherlock for an hour. So, first and foremost, did you know that Ayla had a romance with Kit Fisto, but she chose the Jedi Order over him?
Was that in a book or something? Is that
how? I don't know. It was on Wikipedia, and it didn't have a source, so I'm not quite sure how true that is. But, like, apparently she had a couple romances. Like, she had, like, a run-in with the dark side. I think some of them were in the old EU books and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she had, a run-in with the dark side, and she was, like, romantically interested. And I think like, in her master, and that's actually why she had to leave her master. But I was like, get it, girl. You get it. She's pretty. I'd hang out and take Ayla out to some drinks.
You're young and pretty and in the Star Wars galaxy, of course, yeah.
And Kit Fisto is cute and charismatic and charming. So I was like, I could see it. And they could rub Leku together.
He's got that charming accent, right? Kit Fisto has the, like,
Jamaica. The Jamaican accent. And she has the nice French accent. So, like, they would make really cute babies.
Yeah, with a really weird accent.
My other shallow note before I get in, well, actually, I have two more shallow notes before I get into one more regular one. This episode should be called Rex's Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
It's a pretty bad day.
He has a bad day. Bly was so good in this episode, though. And my Anna Rex feelings are to the max in this episode. And even then, like, my Rex Soka feelings are up there, too, because he's concerned about her safety while they're crashing, and then he wishes her luck out on the unknown planet. And I just really love these three together. And, like, later on, in some of the later seasons, it comes, like, a foursome, because Obi-Wan starts kind of going on these, like, little trio missions as well. And then I started thinking about it, like, in some of the, like, season 4, season 5 episodes, Obi-Wan's not with Cody that much. He's actually more with Rex in some of the later seasons. Like, Rex goes on a lot of missions, and it's just Anakin, Ahsoka, Obi-Wan, and Rex, and it's just the four of them. And so I was like, huh, maybe that's why Cody shoots Obi-Wan. You messed up our friendship. Pew! The only thing I had was, we mentioned in the last episode, but I just want to touch on it again because this is the actual episode I noticed in. The animation quality is really improving.
Mm-hmm.
When Ayla is debating with Ahsoka about whether or not to leave Anakin behind, there's a lot of very subtle, like, cheek and eye movements. Like, she would, like, dart her eyes around and, like, look at Ahsoka. And her Leku actually have a lot of great motion to them throughout the entire episode, too.
They're getting less and less puppety all the time.
Yeah.
I almost didn't notice it, but their walkings, they don't have as much herky jerk to their walk either.
The girls' running is a little bit odd. The clones are a lot better. They're getting better, but, like, their hip movements of the girls looked a touch odd. Like, just like,
Yeah.
But it kind of looks better on the clones because they're wearing all the armor. The only time I realized that it still has work is, like, hair movement. Because in the third part, we meet the Lerman. And the old man Lerman, the hair around his chin moves, but all the rest of his hair sticking up is straight.
They got Lerman hairspray, I guess.
Yeah, but, like, his little chin hairs would move up and down and stuff like that when he talked. but everything else going up the side of his face and his, like, mutton chops were just straight out, like, fins. So that's all I had about this after our riveting politics talk.
Riveting.
Did you have anything else for this section?
No, I'm ready to go off into the land of the pacifist squirrels, monkeys.
They're lemurs.
Leprechaun lemurs.
But they're lermans. So I'm taking my throat's really hurting.
Lucky lermans.
All
with their
right.
Lucky charms.
I just imagine the old man lerman dressed up in a green leprechaun suit. They're off to steal my horseshoes.
I wonder if we'll see in the next episode that they got a pot of gold hidden there.
All right. As morning breaks, Ayla, Ahsoka, and Bly arrive at the village inhabited by Lerman. Their village elder, Tiwat Ka, is not happy to see them. He doesn't believe that the Jedi are peacekeepers. They fight for a so-called peace, but they aid in death and destruction across the galaxy for the war. Ayla and Ahsoka beg for help, so the elder sends his son, a healer named Wag-2, to go help Anakin. Ahsoka, Bly, and Wag-2 leave the village, as Ayla must stay behind with the healer as collateral. Tiwat Ka and Ayla discuss the Clone Wars and who's at fault for fighting. He doesn't agree that liberty is worth fighting for if all it does is cause more death and destruction. The Mastiffs return to the camp. Anakin weakly stands to fight them with Rex. Rex shoots one down, but is thrown to the side, breaking one of his arms. Luckily, Ahsoka and the group arrive in time to save them. Wag-2 wrangles up the remaining Mastiff and hogties it with a rope. They carry Anakin back to the village, and Anakin is very confused at all the Lerman staring at him. Wag-2 starts healing Anakin. Ahsoka tells Ayla that she was right the entire time. If she had stayed with Anakin, they wouldn't have found the village in time. But they still need to find a way off to the planet for the next episode. The end. I just like Anakin's response to Lerman of, Snips, not on Coruscant anymore. Snips! Snips!
Yeah, this is my least favorite part of the episode, I guess, just because I'm not a big fan of the space lemurs. I'm not a big hater of them, but they're just kind of, you know.
I actually have a note that I started writing on this one, but then that's when I realized it's for the next episode.
Oh, whoops. I like how they roll like battle droids.
Unlike Y and Ahsoka, who run for 16 hours.
I would think if they were real animals, though, they would have rough calluses, sort of almost like a seam, you know, like a doll or something, except it would run right down the middle of their body, you know, from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Just rolling like that. They would have, like, the hair worn off and a big callus there.
That'd be a cool design, Dad.
Or, like, some bony chitinous growth that grew there so they could roll without, you know, wearing through their skin.
Mm-hmm. I love the Lerman. Like, they're actually, like, one of my favorite, like, little creatures. I kind of wish we visited the Lerman again, but we don't in Clone Wars.
You see, I would like if they were, like, cute like that, but, like, the Ewoks, they're killers. But instead, they're these sort of pacifists, and it reminds me of the original Star Trek, and I'm at a loss for the name of the episode. I've been trying to think it up. But they, you know, they go to a world where it's you first meet the Klingons, and, you know, the people are total pacifists, and Kirk is trying to say, look, the Klingons are going to wipe you out. And it turns out that, you know, the people have incredible psychic, that, you know, they're like spiritual beings with incredible psychic powers. So, you know, they're not worried about the Klingons hurting them because they could just pop out you know, whatever. They're not even on that level. So, but these guys, I don't think that's the case with them. They're just like wimpy, and it's like, yeah, you're just going to get wiped out. And I often doubt, I mean, it's honorable to have that philosophy, but I wonder how in a sort of natural society like this, where you're surrounded by predatory animals that are much bigger than you, how you develop and maintain a society with a pacifist philosophy.
Well, we see Wag too. Like, he hogties the creature and he tells Ahsoka not to kill it.
He does, but that's, you know, I mean, it's possible to catch and hogtie and release one of those creatures, but if you keep doing that, they're just going to keep reproducing in the wild and you're just going to end up with more and more of them around you, you know? I don't know.
And it sounds like they've already escaped because, like, you know, the Elder says we left our original system and found this place because we got pushed out.
Oh, that's true. So, yeah. So, okay, that makes more sense that they're just sort of like a Battlestar Galactica wretched remains of a people, you know?
And I think I like them a lot because I'm also a pacifist, but unlike them, like, I will defend myself, yeah. And I will shank a bitch if they try to hurt my nieces and my nephews.
Well, that's the thing.
Shank a bitch.
I like to think of myself as nonviolent, you know? I would want to use violence. I wouldn't want to use violence, but if I'm going to use it, it's going to be as a last resort or as an absolute necessity. I would use it against somebody else who is going to, like, kill or hurt somebody else or something like that.
Satine's also a pacifist, and we see her starting in season 2. But, like, she's, like, as a leader as a pacifist, but she still, like, knows that there needs to be guards, and she knows that there needs to be an army. And so that's different from these guys who are just like, we're just not going to fight.
And I think... And I gotta say, I'm 47 years old, and I haven't had since probably high school, early on in high school, I haven't hit anybody, punched anybody. But I want to reserve the right to someday, if something that egregious happens, I want to reserve the right to punch somebody in the face someday.
I punched one guy, and he deserved it. Because, like, in high school, we had this, like, administrator named Mr. Siegfried, and I knew, because, like, my older sister also had Mr. Siegfried, and she always had, like, troubles with him, so I, like, knew I just needed to suck up to Mr. Siegfried, so every time I saw him, I was just like, good morning, Mr. Siegfried, how are you today? And I also had a few classes with some of his daughters, too, so, like, I sort of, like, knew his daughters as well, and they knew of me, because I knew if I ever got in trouble that I would have him. And so what ended up happening is I had this friend, and she had she was mixed race. Like, she had her mom was black and her dad was white. And someone had called this guy, this jerk, called her an Oreo N-word. And I punched him in the face. So I got pulled into Mr. Siegfried's office, and I was sitting there. And he comes in, and he goes, Hope, you're such a good girl. Why did you do this? And I explained it. And he was like, wow, if I wasn't on a school campus, I would punch someone for calling my friend that too. So instead of getting suspended like I should have been, I only got like 3 silent lunches, which was awesome because I did my homework and then went home and watched TV.
Silent lunch sounds like the name of a horror movie. Silent lunch.
No, it's where you sit in the gym and you eat your lunch. And so there's an hour of just not talking. So I just did all my homework and I went home and like played video games and watched TV. It was awesome. Like, that is the only time I ever actually punched a person.
In the gym, no one can hear you eat lunch. Yeah, I want to reserve that. I mean, I broke 2 noses in high school. And the first one was in school. The other one was I was outside of school, but I was in high school. The first one was a bully that just would pick on me every lunch break. And one of those lunch breaks, I was heading back inside, and he came up behind me and tripped me, and I went face down on the ground. Stood up, punched him in the face, broke his nose, started crying, bleeding, went to the nurse's office. I never got in trouble for it, and he never bothered me again. And then the other one...
Not that we condone violence on the show.
The other one, well, the other one was more of a like technically justified one. I was walking. I don't know if it was alcohol related or drug related or something, but I was walking down the street to pick up a sub that I'd ordered, and that was probably drug related because I was probably high and ordered the sub. But I, for some reason, I had my bike with me, but I wasn't riding it, and I was coming back from the sub place. And I was walking down a residential street, and this guy came barreling out of his house, a couple years older than me, but someone I didn't recognize, swearing and yelling at me. And he's like in his jeans with no shirt on and just visibly really angry. And you son of a bitch and blah, 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 coming down the... And I'm watching him like, holy shit, this guy's mad. But I'm doing the like look behind me thinking it's got to be for someone else because I don't even know who this guy is or what's going on, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not believing that he's coming up to me. And then when I see he's coming up to me and he's really mad and probably going to beat me up, I was like, OK, you got to hit him in the face real fast. And I hit him in the face and broke his nose. And like the other guy, he sat down And he started going, "You blew my nose!" And I got on my bike and rode away.
Rode away!
Yep. And those were the last two times that I can think of that I ever had to, you know, use physical force. And so I've always, from after high school till now, I've always been able to resolve stuff non-violently. And I had very, you know, I can't think of many situations where it's like, I should have wrestled that person down or whatever. So yeah, I think you can get away with not being, but the whole pacifist thing of where like no self defense, that starts getting crazy talk to me. It always reminds me of Scott Gardner and I both get our dander up with pacifist characters, especially we got a lot of it because we were doing Star Trek The Next Generation too. So there were a lot of pacifists or pussifists, as we call them.
I know this is like a little early, but did you like Satine then in season 2 and on?
I'm gonna have to tell you when we get there again, because I don't have enough memory of it.
Yeah, she was like Obi-Wan's like ex-girlfriend and the leader of Mandalore.
Yeah, I remember, but just on that level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's
been a while.
I didn't quite remember if it was made, you know, definite or not that they had a relationship, but I remember it being at least intimated that something had happened between the two of them.
Oh, they kind of dated. Obi-Wan even says, like, if you would have told me to, I would have left the Jedi Order.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, he says it right in the episode.
Wow. See, that's how good my memory is.
Yeah. I do have to wonder, because up to this point, is this the first time in the series that we've seen someone who's anti-war, anti-Jedi, who are not separatists, like a third-party people?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because I was trying to remember that as I was writing the notes for this episode. I'm like, I don't feel like going back and watching the previous 11 episodes.
I can't think of anybody, yeah.
I do think it's interesting that Tiwaka, who's the elder guy, has actually a similar view to the Jedi. That he was saying what Ayla was telling Ahsoka earlier in the episode, where he has to do what's best for all of his people instead of the safety of one person being Anakin. Because he was like, at first, it wasn't until, like, you know, they started begging that he was at first like, I'm not going to sacrifice my people as a whole to save your one person, which is exactly what Ayla was saying to Ahsoka earlier in the episode.
Which is sort of an odd, it's almost unexpected from a pacifist. You would think they would be like, well, you know, we are also, you would also think they would be like, we're also for the preservation of all life. So, you know, one life
is he was out for the goodness of his village. Jedi are out to protect all life.
How can you be a pacifist and be for the goodness of your village too? Well, I'm sure you can always justify it, you know, but yeah, it's weird.
The only other night I had this, I actually had a really big issue with Ahsoka saying that Ayla was right, because it's the use of Ahsoka in this episode, because Ayla followed the trail to the village and it wasn't Ahsoka, and like she was saying how like Ayla was right that she should have came. I mean, Bly could have probably made it there and back all by himself and helped Anakin and Rex against the Mastiffs. The only thing that probably would have changed is that Bly probably would have shot the Mastiff instead of Ahsoka helping Wag 2 rope it up. But, I mean, so, like, Ahsoka helped throughout the episode, but she wasn't wrong. She didn't really do... She kind of found... Like, Ayla and Bly did everything, and Ahsoka just helped. So she wasn't actually wrong about not staying with Anakin. She could have stayed with Anakin, and the episode probably would have ended up the same way.
Maybe it was
probably an extra dead Mastiff.
Maybe it was just her way of, you know, kissing up a little bit to a Jedi, just going like.
No, I think it's more along the lines of like, you know, Ahsoka's learning, and they're probably like, look how nice the Jedi are. Like from a writing point of view, like the writers were like, we need to make it look like their Jedi are always right.
Well, also it might be there also might be it might be a training thing where like when you learn a lesson, or when a Jedi master says something to you and you learn the lesson that it's correct. Because as if you notice, the Force or the writers or whatever you want to attribute it to, often they'll be having a conversation about some aspect of, you know, the Jedi philosophy or what they should do within the context of Jedi-ness. And then the next situation will have something that manifests that idea and shows you, you know, exactly what the Jedi was talking about. You get to see it in action. So maybe they had some bit of training where it was like, whenever something like that happens, you know, it's part of your responsibility to go to the Jedi who taught you that and thank them for, you know, thank them or acknowledge their correctness in it.
But she didn't learn anything.
Even if you didn't learn anything, it might just be, you know, procedural.
Thank you, Master. I learned a lesson on how to... She didn't learn anything.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe she earned a brownie point or two, though. I don't know.
The end of that episode has always irked me, because I was like, there's nothing to be learned in this. So that's all I have for Act 3. What about you?
No, that's about all I got.
So what do you think of the Lerman and the episode as a whole? I know what you think of
I'm not a big fan of the Lerman, but I don't, like, so hate them with a fiery...
Faces. They're like lemurs.
This is pretty much, in my scoring system, it's going just like the last one. It's getting a 7 where it would have gotten an 8.
You Lerman hater.
It's because you of the Lerman... If the Lerman showed up earlier, it might have gotten down to 6. But it's, I only have vague memories of how this keeps what happens as this keeps going, but I seem to remember that the Lerman don't end up being as infuriating as they could have been to me. So I remember it doesn't resolve it in an infuriating manner for me. So.
And we have George Takei next episode.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my.
That's some stream crossing. And if anybody's going to cross the streams, it'll be George Takei.
Oh, he's so wonderful, and he's super nice. I've met him once.
Did you?
At Dragon Con. I got to go up to his table and talk to him a little bit. He's really super sweet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So what would you rate the episode then?
Well, I'm saying I gave it a just like the last one, it's getting a C, a 7.
You Lerminist.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? I was raised,
you're so fluffy and
I was
cute
raised like that. I'm trying to fight it, but what are you going to, you know, I'm trying.
Nature versus nurture.
Work is making me go to a seminar on Lerman, Lerman tolerance and understanding real soon.
You work at a barbecue hut.
There was an incident. There was an incident. Yeah. I don't want to say what I said because I don't want to get in trouble again in this PC world.
You work
can't
at a
say
barbecue
what's on your
hut.
Mind about Lerman.
You work at a barbecue hut.
Yeah.
You eat a Lerman.
That's just to warn all you people out there that this PC culture is everywhere, even in the barbecue hut.
You can't Google.
You can't openly say anything about the Lerman anymore.
Maybe, but you can eat Rocky Mountain oysters, can't you?
We don't have Rocky Mountain oysters, but you can eat them. I probably wouldn't eat them if we had them, but I would batter them and fry them for someone else.
I wouldn't eat them either. If you don't know what Rocky Mountain oysters are, just look it up. We're not even going to tell you. Just look it up.
They're usually battered and fried, and truckers eat them by the basketful.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts.
That's crazy nuts.
Oh, I got a million of them.
Oh, well, unlike Chris, I love these episodes. I love this two-parter. This is, like I said at the beginning, this is getting to my favorite chunk of season one, and I just love this little chunk. Ayla is amazing, and I have so many feelings for our main trio friendship. And those Lermans are really cute, Chris.
Yeah, whatever.
This is like a gender study. Like, the girls are like, oh, the Lermans! And the boys are like, oh, the Lermans.
You got some sort of Lerman fetish, and it's unnatural.
No. Though I did like the one Lerman, like, when Anakin's looking up at all the Lermans staring at him, and he's like, oh, Snips, there's a girl, Lerman, right in the center, just smiling down at him, just, hey! I was like, oh,
you know what she reminded me of?
Who?
I can't remember. I think the name of the Muppet was Sally. She reminded me of a little girl Muppet, like from Sesame Street. The little girl Muppet with the pigtails and blonde hair was just like the little Sweetie Pie girl. She's like one of the real simple, like design Muppets, basic Muppets.
She reminded me because of her hairstyle. She had the single ponytail on top of her head of like Pebbles from Flintstones.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, yeah.
Well, I gave the episode a 17 and a half out of 20.
Wow.
I really like these episodes. I really do.
So that's like an 8.75?
Yeah. We're in my favorite chunk of season one. Like, these next, like, six episodes are going to have really good ratings. Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually really excited that we're getting close to Shams and Dula and also the Numa episode. We're a few weeks away from that because Sham and Numa are about to come into Rebels this week. Yay! Shams and Dula in the Ryloth episode is Hera's daddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when we get to the Wet Blanket Windu episode and he's working with Shams and Dula, that's Hera's dad.
Interesting.
And Numa, who's the little girl in Innocence of Ryloth, is actually fighting with Shams and Dula in this episode of Rebels that's 2 days away from our time recording.
Wow.
I'm so excited. I'm going to cry to cold feels. If she mentions Waxer or Boyle once, I'm just going to cry. Just cry. So many tears. They're going to be gross tears. Ugh. So as always, if you don't want to hear my gross tears of feelings, just rate and review us on iTunes. It helps people find the show, and we just want to hear back from you guys and hear what people think.
Yeah.
So where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com with all sorts of nerd and or geek podcasts.
I'm going to go Twitter now.
And even some, yep. And you can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook, but not under the name Chris Honeywell. You'll have to detective me out. And if you find me either on Facebook or Twitter and figure out who I am and friend me, then you can pretty easily find me on the other one. But I'm not telling what my name is. It's more fun to have the people seek me out like the Holy Grail.
Note to self, don't be like, hey, this is Chris's Twitter on Twitter.
Right. It's just fun. I like not having a real name online. I think it's smart. I think it's smart.
Well, you can find me. I run our Twitter, which is J as in Jedi. And you can also find me at Hope Malnex, and I write for What the Fangirl. I'm also finally getting my personal website of Geeky Girl Experience brushed off again for the first time today. Oh, that was a long thing.
Dusted off?
What did I say? You
said brushed off, which means you're putting it off.
No, I'm brushing the dust off.
Okay, you're dusting it off. Okay, yeah, even better. That's way better.
Yeah, we had a server crash, and we're just now getting it rebuilt. So I finally posted my first. I lost.
Did someone hack it or something, or mess with it, and then?
No, because I'm actually.
What happens.
What happened was my buddy John is my webmaster, and he actually has his own server. And, during an electrical storm, it literally blew his server up.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like blasted out the side, everything. Literally blew his server up. And so we crashed our site, so we've been having to rebuild it and everything. So it's finally getting off. I lost most of my posts, but I was able to save, I lost all my, little posts. These are the comics I got this week, but all my major posts I still have, so I just have to put them back up, and I haven't done that yet.
I've often wondered if when you do stuff like that online, whether you shouldn't just have a folder where you save the HTML of that web page.
That's where we're confused, because actually in cookies and stuff like that, I still had a site and I could access half of my posts. So that's how I was able to save a lot of them, but right. It wouldn't save all of them.
Yeah, yeah. I've always wondered if you shouldn't just copy the HTML of that page so you'd have an archive of that actual page in case something like that happens.
Archives, that's the word I was trying to think of, not cookies. Cookies!
Cookie.
We're going to eat the cookies. Yes. Come along, Cookie Monster. My throat hurts way too much for that.
Yeah. talking like that too long gives me a coughing jag, so I avoid it.
Well, I don't have anything else, do you?
No, I'm all wrapped up, I guess.
Well, until next time, cuddle up with your lermen and let them be with you.
Amen.
Not in a weird sexual way. I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah, all you furries out there, simmer down.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry. Let the Anna Rex Ahsoka Rex friendships be with. I don't know. Go away. Thanks for listening. I sucked at the ending.
Yeah, you Lerman lovers.
Lerman lover. That I want a stuffed Lerman. Someone make me a stuffed Lerman. Okay, bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2 True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2 True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2 True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email 2 True Freaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2 True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2 True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2 True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for 2 True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2 True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, "Soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this."